Hello and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, it is great to be with you today.
Good to be with our listeners here on our podcast, and we want to talk a little bit about Jason's sermon this past Sunday. Great lesson about faith, but just a couple updates that we want to give you. Things are constantly changing as we go along. We are now having two morning services, 9:30, and a change. Last week we met at 11:30. We're moving the second service up to 11 o'clock, 9:30 and 11. And if our listeners would like to come, they need to go to our website and sign in. We do this to understand the social distancing in the space. We're limited about how many can come. And once the 9:30 slot is filled, then we will be shifting to the 11 o'clock. And so just some updates on that. This past Sunday, Jason gave a great lesson on Abraham from the book of Romans in chapter 4, the footsteps of the faith of our father Abraham. A lot of F words there.
There are.
But it's actually a statement that comes from the book of Romans. And so as I was listening to it, and I encourage our listeners to go back, that was a great lesson, I just kind of wrote down some questions that came to my mind. And so what we're going to do in this podcast is I'm going to kind of interview Jason in this sermon. We're going to just go back through and pick out some of the questions that came to my mind, and just to kind of see a little depth here as we kind of go through. One of the great passages that we went to early in the lesson was in James chapter 2, verse 23, where there it says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So let's talk about that last phrase, the friend of God, in our first two questions. The first question I have is, which direction is that pointed at? For instance, using Jason and I as an example, I could say Jason is my friend, or is it Jason, the other way around? I am his friend.
Yes.
So when we talk about the friend of God, was God Abraham's friend or was Abraham God's friend?
It's fascinating to me as you dig in the New Testament how often what the Holy Spirit is leading these authors to say really has Old Testament roots. And it's looking at the Old Testament roots that would lead me to say, God is the one who is defining Abraham as his friend. Anybody can say, well, God is my friend, right? And live in whatever way they want to live. The Bible calls that hypocrisy. Any human being could say, well, I'm the friend of God, but what makes this special is God saying, that's my friend. And you see that in two different Old Testament passages. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 7. It's interesting. This is King Jehoshaphat who is praying to God. And he asks God, did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? Now that's one instance of a king in Israel praying to God and saying, Abraham was your friend. But to me, what really seals the deal is in Isaiah 41 and verse 8, because this is God talking. And he says in Isaiah 41, but you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend. And so when God says, that's my friend, that's something special.
So using today's world, if God had a cell phone or a Facebook account, and we looked in among his list of friends listed there, would be Abraham.
Right.
That's the direction it's going.
Yeah.
God is saying, Abraham is my friend. Leads us to question number two. How in the world do we become God's friend?
The best way I know to answer that, using Abraham as an example, is to go back in and just bounce back and forth between those relevant chapters of Genesis and where we were on Sunday in Romans chapter 4. I really tried to emphasize to the audience, this doesn't have to be complicated. If we just listen to the Holy Spirit, we know that Abraham is held up as an example of faith, right? But you and I both know faith in 2020, the modern religious context, that can mean all sorts of things. And so what does God mean by faith? Well, Romans chapter 4 is a great case study. Romans 4 and verse 3, Abraham believed God. I believe if God is going to look at someone and say, that's my friend, well, they believe him. They believe in him, right? The one who does not believe in him is described nearly from cover to cover of the Bible as a fool. So it starts with, I believe in God. Which leads me to, okay, if God tells me something is going to happen, if he makes a promise to me, I'm going to believe that, right? The friends of God believe his promises. They glorify him. Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. But also built into all of this is if God says to do something, I'm going to do it, right? James, we mentioned earlier, is a great teacher of, I can't just say I believe God, but fail to do what God is telling me to do. That's dead faith. And so on Sunday morning, we went back to Genesis chapter 12. God said, Abraham, go. And Abraham went, right? God says, look up at the heavens. This is what your descendants are going to be like. And Abraham believed that, right? Abraham was willing to live in this land as a pilgrim following the lead of God. And when God sees that, he says, that's my friend. And so in 2020, let's not make it any more complicated than we have to. Being a friend of God means I believe in God. I trust his promises. When he tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. When he tells me how he wants me to do a certain thing. I mean, let's just think about our worship today. He has told us to sing. Right? In our worship, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts to him. Well, if I want to be his friend, I'm just going to do that, right? He's taught me to observe the Lord's Supper. All sorts of ways that we could come up with different ideas as to how to memorialize what Jesus has said. But why not follow in the footsteps of the faith of Abraham and just do what God has told us to do?
You know, and in our world today, you know, to make it very plain and understandable, we see this if we look at relationships. I mean, if I have someone as a friend, they're constantly going places to eat that I don't like. They're constantly doing things I don't like to do. They're constantly watching movies I do not like. Pretty soon that this friendship's going to end.
Yeah.
It's going to be a one-sided friendship. The Lord would say in John 15 and verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Yeah. And so how we manifest friendship with God is by doing what God wants him to do. And so when we worship, when we have a marriage, when we have a family, when we do it God's way, that's going to create that friendship.
Friends have things in common, right? And by God's grace, I can come to be in common with God when he reconciles me to himself, and then I simply do what he tells me to do. John describes that as walking with him, right? Walking in the light as he is in the light. we have that in common.
Right. And when friends don't do that, they hurt that relationship.
Sure.
Okay, a third question, and this really came from the title of the lesson itself. This is from Romans 4, verse 12, when there it says, "But who also follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised." And my question is, in what way is Abraham our father? You know, we think of that passage in Matthew when Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." We're not praying to Abraham, we're praying to God. So this passage uses Abraham as our father. Explain that, please.
I think, first of all, we've got to look at that through a Jewish lens, right? In the Gospels, you go back to Matthew chapter 3, for instance, and you've got Pharisees and Sadducees who've come out to John at the Jordan River, and John looks at them and calls them a brood of vipers, and he warns them, don't presume by saying, we have Abraham as our father. Now, there was a positive way that that was true, right? Hebrews, the Jewish people, had Abraham as the father of their race. But when we're reading in Romans chapter 4, the powerful point that Paul is making is, Abraham can be the father of all people of faith. If you are a Gentile, a non-Jew living in Rome, and you share the faith of Abraham, and you have been circumcised spiritually by God, that sin has been cut out of your life, and you've died with Jesus, and you've been raised with him to walk in newness of life, Abraham, in a very real sense, is your father, just as surely as if you were a physical descendant of Abraham. In fact, he goes on in Romans to say, what really matters is being a spiritual child in this spiritual lineage. Let's say you were a physical descendant of Abraham and you bore the physical sign of circumcision, but you didn't belong to Jesus. You're not a part of the true Israel now that God is building on this historical side of the cross. Now, you just take a moment to let that marinate, and it makes sense. If Paul is going throughout the New Testament world and preaching that message, it makes sense that some unbelieving Jews would be absolutely enraged by that message, right?
So Paul would say in Galatians 3, verse 29, if you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise.
Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile.
That's it. And so we use the expression father in a sense of being first. We talk about our founding fathers, those who formed this country. George Washington is considered the father of this country. He was the first president. And so Abraham was the one that God chose. Through Abraham came Isaac, Jacob, and all the descendants. Through them came Jesus Christ. And so Abraham is our father, not that we pray to him, not that we worship him, but in the sense that he was the one that God saw great faith. And he was the one who was obedient to God. God was the one who bestowed promises to Abraham. And so he is a father in that way. He is the first. And so we follow in his footsteps when we have faith like Abraham. We trust God. We believe God. We follow God. It's not that we worship Abraham. It's not that Abraham stands between us and God. Jesus is the one who does that. But he is the first. And he is the one that sets forth that God believed in.
He kind of paved the trail. You know, you look at where it is in Genesis. There's a whole lot of darkness in Genesis 1 through 11, right? And Abraham is introduced to us in Genesis chapter 12 as a kind of light, right? Who paves the trail, and we are being encouraged, even as New Testament Christians, to walk that same path of faith.
So another question from your lesson. You used Genesis 18, verse 19, "For I have chosen him," talking about Abraham, "for I have chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him." That phrase, "by doing righteousness," what does that look like?
I think we've got to begin with, God is the definer of what is right. God, it's not Abraham, right? Even Abraham, you read those chapters in Genesis and you find him getting himself in trouble on more than one occasion, right? So righteousness, we've got to begin with who defines what's right. And that's God. God looks at this man, and over the course of a number of different interactions and even trials, right, he sees that the heart of this man is willing to follow in the path that is right. That Genesis 18, verse 19 passage talks about the way of the Lord. So the Lord defines what is right. He reveals to mankind the way that is right. And here is a man in Abraham willing to travel that path, willing to walk according to the standard. And so, well, what does that standard say is right? Well, that's the stuff of the Bible, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. I think that has to do with the next word or two in Genesis 18, 19, with justice, right? You treat other people right according to that standard. If God tells you to go, you go. If God tells you to stop, you stop. If God says lying and stealing and adultery isn't okay, well, you stay away from those things. If God tells you to honor your father and mother, if he eventually tells these people to honor the Sabbath day as a day of holy rest, well, we're going to do that, right? Whatever God says is right. The psalmist centuries later would say, God is good, God does good, so teach us your statutes, is the prayer, because those statutes are right.
The psalmist in chapter 19, as he described the word of God, would say that the word of God is right.
Yeah.
So really, with God, not only does he describe what is right, but he describes what is wrong. Another expression for being right or righteous is the idea of being just or not guilty.
Yeah.
And so when we follow God, we are right. It's not the church that declares that. It's not myself. You know, I just feel like I'm doing what's right. That's not it. It's that we're following the word of God, and that declares that we are right.
And we need that in 2020. I mean, that sounds so basic, but there is so much confusion and frustration and conflicting forces and reports all around us. As children of God seeking to walk by faith, we just need to keep coming back to the scriptures, taking what we see in the world around us and, okay, using the scriptures as a lens to determine what is right and wrong in the world around us, in the lives of the people around us, first and foremost in our own lives, and making sure we are in common with God.
And we sometimes refer to this as a standard or Bible authority. That sometimes seems dull as history for some folks. But we use that understanding in everyday life. We went down to the hardware store and we're looking at a board and we say, well, how long is this board? I want to buy this board. How long is it? We can say, well, you know, I think it's 2 feet. No, I think it's 3 feet. And we can guess. Somebody comes up with a tape measure. And that tape measure tells us how long it is. It's 34 inches. Yeah. Well, we're not going to argue and say, well, you know, I'm not sure about that. The tape measure is the standard. That's the way it is with the Bible. I think this is right. No, I think this is right. Y'all do this. Y'all do this. This church says this. This church says that. Let's open up the tape measure. Let's open up the standard. Let's see what God says is right. That settles everything.
Absolutely.
That's the way it should be. Now, another question, and this ties in with this idea of righteous or being right, and this goes back to Romans chapter 4. And about four times in Romans 4, it talks about being credited or counted as righteous. I'll just grab one of the verses here in Romans 4:22. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. The ESV says counted as righteous. What does that mean to be credited or counted as righteous?
Well, again, I think any time in our Bibles, usually if you're reading out of an English Bible and you see some little number or some little letter beside a word or a phrase, we would do well to pay attention to that reference. And references throughout Romans chapter 4, the idea of being counted as righteous, it will take you back as a cross-reference to Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. That's where the language comes from. So let's make sure that we don't just, you know, all on our own speculate, well, what did Paul mean by being counted as righteous? He is referencing Genesis chapter 15, that scene where God tells Abram, don't be afraid, I'm your shield, your reward will be very great. And Abram is struggling with, well, you promised me an heir, but I don't have an heir yet. And this is the scene where God brings Abram outside and says, look toward heaven, number the stars if you are able to number them. So shall your offspring be, and here's the relevant verse, verse 6 of Genesis 15. And Abram believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. God makes a promise. He knows the heart of this man. He says, look to the heavens. And Abraham believes. He has no physical ability to bring about the fulfillment of this promise on his own. He knows this is going to completely depend upon a God for whom nothing is impossible. And he doesn't know the how or the why or the what or the when, but he believes God. And God counts that to him as righteousness. I take that to mean God looks at him and says, that's right. That's what I'm looking for. And that's the point that Paul is using in Romans chapter 4 and 5 and beyond, that this is bigger than the physical sign of circumcision. If you have a Jew in the first century who physically has been circumcised but doesn't believe God, doesn't believe Jesus is the Son of God, we got a problem, right? That person is not right in the sight of God. But the larger point in Romans is, even if you're a Gentile and you have not been physically circumcised, but you believe Jesus is the Son of God, and you are willing to do what the gospel is calling you to do, you can be counted righteous just like Abraham was before he was circumcised. The emphasis is on, if God says it, believe it and do it.
So, you know, again, using the modern illustration of credited or counted.
Yeah.
You have a mortgage on your house, you have a car payment, you send in your monthly payment, they deduct it now from what you owe. It has been counted against what you owe.
Yeah.
And so God looks at us And he doesn't see us as we see each other. We see male, female, tall, short, big, fat, you know, all kinds of categories. God sees us as either saved or unsaved, right or unright.
Yeah.
And Abraham did what was right, and so that put him in that category. It was accounted to him. It was accredited to him. This person is now doing what is right.
Yeah.
And that's how we see that. Well, just to wrap this up, one final question. And, you know, these questions just came from the sermon. And this is a good way of listening to sermons. You listen to the sermon, but your mind goes places, and you think of questions, and that gives you further depth and further study. And that's just a wonderful way of kind of helping ourselves grow. And that leads us to this last question. In Romans 4, verse 20, it says, "Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God." Again, talking about Abraham. Abraham grew strong in faith. And I see that passage, and the question that comes to my mind is, how do we grow strong in faith?
I appreciate how the English Standard renders the last few verses of Romans 4, or last few words of Romans 4, verse 20. It reads, "He grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God." And I did a little bit of digging last week in preparation, and as I understand it, it is as Abraham gave glory to God, he grew strong. So, I mean, let's just put these things together. God tells Abraham what to do. As Abraham does what God tells him to do, he is glorifying God. And as he glorifies God, he gets stronger. Again, let's not make this any more complicated than it has to be. God knows what he's talking about. You referenced earlier, if we love God, we're going to keep his commandments. And as we keep his commandments, we are glorifying him. We are doing what we were created to do. But this is about much more than, okay, just, you know, a checklist or a bank balance spiritually. God has told me what he has told me for my good. He gets the glory, but as I do what he tells me to do, I actually get stronger. He has told me that I can't live by bread alone, that I need to live by every word that comes from his mouth. I need to soak my mind and my heart in the scriptures. But this is about so much more than a schedule or a calendar with boxes to check off. As I read his word, he is glorified and I get stronger. Same thing with prayer. Same thing with assembling with the saints, observing the Lord's Supper, singing, whatever you want to talk about. When I do what he tells me to do, he gets the glory, but I get stronger.
So Abraham didn't have to go off to seminary school.
No.
He didn't have to read a stack of books. His belief and his obedience changed him,
yeah.
And he became. That's how we get stronger. We believe, we obey, and then we become. And by becoming, we become what God wants us to be. There's that righteousness once again. Great thoughts from a lesson. And I think it just helps us to kind of peel the layers off, get a little more explanation from some of these statements and phrases we've used, and to look at this from a level of depth that ought to help each of us.
Yeah. And I appreciate the approach. I'm very confident you are never offended when someone, after listening to a sermon, asks questions in order to dig deeper. Every preacher worth his salt wants to help people understand, and we grow a lot of times by asking questions. And so don't ever, ever be afraid to ask questions about the Bible. Roger, you've got the privilege of preaching this coming Sunday, two different times. That was an experience for me this past Sunday, and you are also preaching at both 9:30 and 11 o'clock this Sunday.
And we're going to take our thoughts from 2 Corinthians 4. We're going to talk about the challenges to our journey. This has been a challenging year for us. And for a lot of us, this may be the most challenging thing we ever faced in our life. And when we walk through 2 Corinthians 4, we notice Paul identifying four kinds of challenges and then how to deal with those challenges. And that's what we'll be talking about.
We, as has been the case the last several weeks, really encourage you to check in at charlestownroad.org. This past Sunday, we had our 9:30 a.m. service fill up by about Thursday of the weekend. So if you really want to attend at 9:30 on Sunday morning, please check in just as soon as possible. We will not run out between both 9:30 and 11 of space, but please let us know which one of those services you are planning on attending. On Sunday evening, Lord willing, I will continue the video series that you kicked off this past Sunday, Bible Words You Should Know. If you have not watched session one in that series with Roger, I definitely encourage you to go back. He just talked about the word gospel. We're looking at different words having to do with salvation. Lord willing, this coming Sunday, I'll be doing a relatively short video on the word atonement. We had a number of our members say, you know, they love being able to be here in person at 9:30, but it's a long rest of the day when you're in the habit of assembling on Sunday evening. And so we're doing that video series at charlestownroad.org, something good you can watch individually or with your family. One more reminder for this evening, Wednesday evening, Roger and I are broadcasting live his class on blurry vision. And so we would definitely encourage you to tune in to charlestownroad.org at 7 o'clock p.m. this evening. Roger, any closing thoughts for today?
Just need to follow in the footsteps of faith. Great way to do that.
Absolutely. We appreciate you tuning into this episode of the Heaven Bound podcast. We are absolutely looking forward to this Sunday, the best day of the week. We would love to have you come and grow with us.